markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are ticking higher. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. This after last week was the best for the U.S. stock market in more than 2 years. It's also the first trading day of the month. Last month, the S&P 500 gained 9.2%. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures again lower, down 9 points. Dow futures down 28. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.90%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.9% on $1.82 at $96.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $8.40 at $17.90.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0257 against the dollar. British pound 1.2256. And the yen at 132.01. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down 2.2% at $23,290. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. No public events are on President Biden's schedule today. He remains in isolation following his rebound with COVID-19 after treatment with the antiviral drug Paxlovid. Bill Russell, who was the cornerstone of the Boston Celtics basketball dynasty in the 1950s and 60s, has died. He was 88. Henrik Stenson took home $4 million for winning the controversial LIV Golf's Bedminster Invitational. The Saudi Arabian-funded league has drawn criticism. Tickets at former President Trump's Bedminster course were being sold for as little as a dollar among light crowds. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Royals. The Mets won their sixth straight, beating the Marlins. The Red Sox down the Brewers. The Cardinals shut out the Nationals, 5-0. The Red Sox beat the Orioles, or the Reds, rather, beat the Orioles. The White Sox beat the A's. The Giants down the Cubs. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Jeffrey Yu is with us now, senior strategist for EMEA markets at BNY Mellon, as we get ready to kick off this new trading month following one of the best months for stocks in about a year and a half, at least in the U.S. Jeff, good morning. Where do you see the momentum for U.S. risk assets as we get this new month started?
Well, to be frank, we're still somewhat hesitant about chasing risk appetite at this point. You know, there's some sudden view which may be not as prevalent as it may feel across market, but the Fed suddenly, you know, calling it a day and, you know, just moving towards a comfortable level, maybe slightly above neutral. To be frank, I think, you know, that's a bit of wishful thinking on the part of markets right now. Inflation expectations are not really being anchored yet. And not just for the Fed, but globally, more needs to be done on tightening. So I think that could derail some of the sentiment coming through. So we're still relatively cautious in heading into the new trading month.
Can you be a little bit specific on where you think the Fed is going to go in terms of the tightening?
So, you know, overall, if we really want to talk about Fed moving towards a restrictive and then the prior pricing, you know, of close to 4%, even if higher, for example, that is absolutely necessary. But we're not seeing that, to be frank, no, throughout the year. It really, you know, has been a case, you know, trying to touch those levels and before, you know, data starts to derail the process. If I look at the one year in the US, so we got to 3.9 in mid-June, but now it's, you know, collapsed to about 2.7. So the market seems very hesitant, and that's where the rude awakening, you know, maybe comes. So that 4%, you know, golden level perhaps still needs to be touched again.
What data are you going to be looking at in the weeks to come as you further navigate this forecast? What's got your eye?
First thing this week, clearly, is going to be payrolls. You know, as always, the headline payrolls numbers are a bit noisy. So it's more about the average hourly earnings figures and, you know, any other indication of labor market tightness. So, you know, that's where I wouldn't say it's going to, you know, change market expectations. But, you know, any major surprise, you know, coming through, say, you know, well above 5% in average hourly earnings on an annualized basis, above 0.5%, you know, on a sequential level, you know, these are numbers which will make the market think again. Because fundamentally, we need to bear in mind, even though the GDP numbers may suggest otherwise, but the U.S. economy is in relatively better shape, you know, compared to the rest of the world. It's far less exposed to, say, energy supply shocks, you know, due to the Russia-Ukraine war. So, you know, all of that put together, you know, means there is greater upside risk to the U.S. economy, and that's something that markets need to take in mind.
Yeah, and it's interesting, just this morning, looking at the markets, we're seeing this sort of divergence between European risk assets and U.S. futures, some pretty decent gains for European stocks. What's behind that?
So, you know, that is somewhat perplexing, you know, given how the PMI numbers, not just of the core Europe, but if you look at the Czech Republic and Poland, for example, you know, these are countries which are heavily integrated into the Eurozone supply chain, and their manufacturing PMI numbers are just absolutely collapsing, right? I think the valuations are coming through, you know, Euro at these levels. So sure, we're well above parity now, but still maybe creating a bit of a profitability tailwind. So the broader risk environment that is playing a role, but ultimately, if you expect that the worst may be over, then gently people are maybe putting money back to work. The ECB probably will have a narrower window of tightening compared to the Fed, especially if gas supplies are going to be disrupted heading into winter months and into next year. But the net global risk appetite, every reason to remain cautious. The Fed is still the main stumbling block, but also, you know, China growth, it's still stop-start. We still have the war to contend with. So a lot of issues out there which need to be resolved.
And in our last 30 seconds here, Jeff, we're the bulk of earnings season here. What's your read on where earnings go from here?
I think earnings, you know, you're starting to see, you know, some divergence, you know, between on a global basis of those which are exposed to the global cycle and those, you know, which are not. And again, this is where the U.S. really is in better shape compared to Europe. All the cyclical names, if we look at where the flows are going, these are the current, these are the sectors, and you know, these are the economies which are underperforming. So this is where the divergence will continue to remain. You could argue that if there's more flow asset allocation going to the U.S., that's tightening financial conditions. And via the dollar, it helps equity markets, but it's still going to make life difficult for the rest of the world.
Great to have you with us again, Jeff. Thanks for this. Jeffrey Yu, Senior Strategist, EMEA at BNY Mellon. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 29, so are NASDAQ futures. As we mentioned, European stocks moving higher. We have the DAX in Germany up almost 0.4%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield 2.64 on the 10-year note, and the yield on the 2-year right now, 2.89%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. These morning showers will give way to clouds and a high near 80 today. Afternoon shower or thunder shower possible tomorrow with a high back near 90. Sunny near 90 for Wednesday. Right now, 69 in Central Park.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, August 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
traders begin a new month with a slew of earnings in focus.
One Fed president said there's a long way to go to hit 2% inflation.
Concern in China grows amid worse-than-expected economic data.
And Senator Joe Manchin makes his pitch in favor of the climate tax bill.
Speeding cameras in New York City begin operating 24-7 starting today. Plus, the death toll rises from last week's flooding in Kentucky. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Sixth straight win for the Mets. The Yankees lost in the ninth inning, and widespread reaction to the passing of NBA legend Bill Russell.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 9 points. Dow futures down 26, and NASDAQ futures down 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.8% on $1.75 at $96. $26.87 a barrel. And Bitcoin this morning down 2% at $23,320. Nathan.
Now, well, futures are on the back foot a bit this morning, Karen, as we kick off a new trading month looking ahead to Friday's jobs report. And the debate continues on the health of the U.S. economy. Regent Atlantic Capital Chief Investment Officer Andy Capron says the environment's uncertain, but he's still sticking with value.
You should continue to stick with what has worked for you so far this year, and that is precisely sticking with value, which is heavy on energy, heavy on materials and industrials. The underlying prices of those commodities, they're fundamentally undersupplied.
Andy Capron with Regent Atlantic Capital says focusing on value and quality can still generate returns in a volatile market.
Well, over the weekend, Nathan, we got more comments on Fed policy. Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari said he's not worried about whether the U.S. is in a technical recession. He says the central bank is focused squarely on inflation.
We're going to do everything we can to try to avoid a recession, but we are committed to bringing inflation down, and we are going to do what we need to do. And we are a long way away from achieving an economy that is back at 2% inflation, and that's where we need to get to.
Neel Kashkari said he does not see evidence of a U.S. wage price spiral. He made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, stocks are coming off a banner month, Karen, but that trend may not continue, according to two high-profile analysts. Let's get more in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, earnings results are holding up better than feared. Of the 56% of the S&P 500 companies that have reported, more than half have beaten estimates. Still, Goldman Sachs strategist David Constant says the rate of earnings beats is trailing the average pace that's been set in the last five quarters. And Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says the rebound in stocks is likely to be short-lived as estimates are cut further and the economy heads into contraction. And a note this morning, Wilson also says the bond market is assuming the Fed's going to get inflation under control, which is good for fixed income, but not stocks. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Another big week on Wall Street with economic data and earnings set to be the main drivers. Once again, we get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
While investors keep an eye on the economic data, including a jobs report, they're also focused on what corporations are saying about the second half. Solita Marcelli is Chief Investment Officer for the Americas at UBS Global Wealth Management.
This earnings season, we heard a lot of talk of recession, but we haven't seen any indication in the results.
Lots of earnings this week across a broad swath of industries. Among some of the names, AMD, Airbnb, Caterpillar, Lyft, Uber, Marriott, Occidental Petroleum, Starbucks, and Yum Brands. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. U.S. shale drillers are expected to post record profits this week, and after a decade of steep losses, it looks like shale is finally blossoming. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Estimates compiled by Bloomberg show the top 28 publicly traded U.S. independent oil producers generated $25.5 billion in free cash flow in the second quarter. That's about a quarter of what they lost over the past decade. Fracking revolutionized global energy markets by enabling American drillers to harvest shale resources that had previously been untouchable. The U.S. went from a declining crude producer to the world's dominant oil and gas source, but at an astronomical cost. The 28 companies lost about $115 billion in the decade leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, turning overseas now, HSBC shares are up 5.9% in London after the bank turned in a strong earnings report. It beat profit estimates, vowed to restore quarterly dividends, and fended off a call to split up. HSBC's CFO Ewan Stevenson spoke to Bloomberg from Hong Kong.
Rising rates is certainly beneficial to us. Interest income was up 20% Q2 on Q2. Revenues were up 12% overall. We also kept costs flat, so we had an enormous amount of operating leverage. We also had a one-off tax benefit, too, so we're very pleased with these results.
Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson says HSBC is paying close attention to its China real estate exposure.
All right, let's head to Europe now, Karen, where the economic focus this week is on the Bank of England. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe host Stephen Carroll joins us from London with details. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Bank of England was the first of the major central banks to hike rates after the pandemic, but now it's playing catch-up. Governor Andrew Bailey has promised to act forcefully to tackle inflation that's running at a 40-year high in the UK. Markets now see a 70% chance of a 50 basis point hike on Thursday. That would be the largest by the bank in 27 years. This as it's warning that inflation could hit 11% this year. Live in London, I'm Stephen Carroll, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Stephen, thank you. Back here in the US. We're focused on politics. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Senator Manchin says it all just makes sense.
We've taken $3.5 trillion of spending down to $400 billion of investing without raising any taxes whatsoever.
And he says he doesn't know now what all the drama's about.
I didn't know if we could get a deal. I did not know if we could come to an agreement. So why would I put people through this, all this drama?
And he's also making a public pitch to get Senator Kyrsten Sinema on board, the vote expected this week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 10, NASDAQ futures down 18. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 69 degrees with rain continuing in Central Park. Westbound 78 is closed in Warren Township between exits 36 and 33. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on for your ride. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Smile, you're on traffic camera. Starting today, about 2,000 speed cameras begin running 24 hours a day, every day across New York City. If you're caught speeding by the camera, you'll get a $50 fine in the mail. However, experts say it usually will not result with points on your license. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says housing, water, and cell phone service are among the priorities the state is focused on bringing back to people who have lost everything in last week's deadly flooding in eastern Kentucky.
Our confirmed count of Kentuckians we've lost has now reached 28, and we expect that there will be more and that number will grow.
Governor Beshear, there are stepped-up efforts to slow the spread of the monkeypox virus in the U.S. despite rising case numbers and limited vaccine supplies. There are now more than 5,000 confirmed cases of monkeypox across the U.S. Officials say cases are concentrated among men who have had sex with other men, but because monkeypox is spread by skin-to-skin contact, Dr. Alok Patel says anyone could catch it.
Individuals who are in an at-risk community who have come in contact with others who have symptoms of monkeypox are encouraged to go get a vaccine. But right now, we are seeing long lines in order to get the vaccine.
Dr. Patel spoke to ABC. It comes as the New York City Health Department declared monkeypox a public health emergency over the weekend. President Biden remains in isolation following his rebound with COVID-19 after treatment with an antiviral drug. Dr. Darian Sutton says Paxlovid is still preventing severe disease and deaths, even when there's a rebound case.
Given that what we've seen and what we don't know in this pandemic and how this virus can change, especially in the setting of the Omicron variant, I'd recommend that within the 10 to even 14 days of your diagnosis of COVID-19, you continue to wear that well-fitting mask around others to decrease your risk of transmission.
Dr. Sutton spoke to ABC. We've lost some greats. NBA legend Bill Russell has died at 88. More in sports ahead. Star Trek actress Nichelle Nichols, who broke ground for blacks playing Lieutenant Uhura, has died at age 89. And Pat Carol, the voice of Ursula in the Disney classic The Little Mermaid, has died at age 95. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street, it is time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
And Nathan, indeed, NBA legend Bill Russell dying peacefully yesterday in his home at the age of 88. You can argue where Russell ranks among the greatest players in NBA history, certainly in the conversation. From a defensive standpoint, he may well have been the best. As a rebounder, he averaged 23 rebounds a game. He once had 51. And what is not up for debate is who was the greatest winner in NBA history. Russell won 11 championships with the Celtics, 8 in a row. In the last two, he not only played, he was the head coach. He played in 10 game sevens. He won all 10. During his career and after, Russell often a voice against racial and social injustice. Billie Jean King yesterday called him a once-in-a-generation activist athlete. Barack Obama's statement yesterday read, "As tall as Russell stood, his legacy as a player and person rises higher." At Stadium, Yankees trailed the Royals 4-0, then led 6-4 after a DJ LeMahieu two-run homer and Anthony Rizzo three-run shot, with one out in the ninth. A three-run homer by Kansas City's Salvador Perez off Clay Holmes, who had not given up a homer all year, and the Royals beat the Yanks 8-6. In Miami, season-high 19 hits for the Mets, 3-8 for Jeff McNeil, Mark Canna, Francisco Lindor, a 9-3 rout. So after a two-game sweep of the Yankees, a three-game sweep of the Marlins, the Mets manager Buck Showalter.
How hard it is to win three games in a row on the road in the same ballpark in a major league. It's impressive that our guys came out with that the type of intensity you need to facing a Lopez. You face some good pitching here.
And speaking of good pitching, the Mets are now in Washington with Max Scherzer on the mound tonight facing his old team, and then tomorrow the season debut of Jacob DeGrom. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures now down 8 points. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures are lower by 31 points. 10-year Treasury is down 4.30 seconds. The yield 2.66%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning showers will give way to mostly cloudy skies today and a high near 80 degrees. We'll be back near 90 tomorrow with an afternoon shower or thunder shower possible. Sunny near 90 for Wednesday. Right now, 69 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, U.S. futures lower this morning as we kick off a new month looking ahead to Friday's jobs report. Debate continues on the health of the U.S. economy. Regent Atlantic Capital Chief Investment Officer Andy Capron says there are still returns to be had.
Focusing on companies that are good at generating free cash flow and have the financial discipline to be able to deliver on it. The segment of the market that stands out the best here is dividend payers.
And Andy Capron with Regent Atlantic Capital says he's not only sticking with quality stocks, but also value.
Over the weekend, Karen, we got more comments on Fed policy. Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari said he's not worried about whether the U.S. is in a technical recession.
We are committed to bringing inflation down, and we are going to do what we need to do. And we are a long way away from achieving an economy that is back at 2% inflation.
Neel Kashkari was a guest on CBS's Face the Nation, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, Nathan, two notable equity strategists say recession fears may cap further gains in stocks. And more in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, in a note to clients this morning, Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson warns the U.S. economy could be headed for recession. He says risk-reward is poor after the recent rally. And strategists at Goldman Sachs, including David Costin, say the rate of earnings beats is trailing the 62% average pace that was set in the last five quarters. They suggest that stocks are not out of the woods yet after posting their strongest month since November of 2020. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Turning to big oil now, looks like shale could be blossoming again after a decade of steep losses. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Several shale companies are set to report earnings this week. Estimates compiled by Bloomberg show the top 28 publicly traded U.S. independent oil producers generated $25.5 billion in free cash flow in the second quarter. Compare that to the last 10 to 15 years when the companies lost about $115 billion leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And again, futures are moving lower this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 633 on Wall Street. Rain and 69 degrees in Central Park. Still got the closure in Warren Township, westbound 78 between exits 36 and 33. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Drivers, slow your roll in New York City. About 2,000 speed cameras are now operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week across the city. Anyone rung up speeding by the camera can expect a $50 ticket in the mail. Until now, the cameras were only running between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. However, experts say more than half of traffic deaths happen overnight. Rescue crews continue to dig through piles of debris from deadly flooding last week in Kentucky. At least 28 people are now dead. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear warns they expect to find more bodies in the weeks ahead.
Every day, every week, every month, and every year it takes to rebuild. We are committed to the people of eastern Kentucky.
Governor Beshear says search dogs are being used. No public events on President Biden's schedule today. He remains in isolation following his rebound with COVID-19 after treatment with an antiviral drug. Medical experts say Paxlovid is still preventing severe disease and deaths, even when there's a rebound case. Dr. Darian Sutton.
The theory is that virus then replicates and causes rebound symptoms. As we saw over the weekend, as reported by the case of the president, sometimes it doesn't involve symptoms at all. Sometimes it's just simply a positive test, which is what we saw.
Dr. Sutton spoke to ABC. In Washington today, a judge can hand down the longest prison term so far in the January 6th Capitol riot case. Prosecutors said Guy Reffitt of Texas carried a gun on his waist while confronting police at the Capitol. His own son testified against him. Prosecutors are seeking 15 years in prison. The very lucky winner of Friday's Mega Millions drawing has yet to claim the $1.34 billion prize, the third largest jackpot in U.S. history. The winning tickets sold at a Speedway gas station in Illinois near Chicago. Once the winner does come forward, financial expert Carter Cofield recommends saving some of the cash for tax payments.
On average, 70% of people that win the lottery are broke within the 3 to 5 years. 70% of people are broke within 3 to 5 years. And 50% of those people say that their life is actually worse after winning the lottery.
Financial expert Carter Cofield. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Bill Russell, of course, NBA legend, Boston sports icon. He passed away yesterday at the age of 88. Russell arrived in Boston in 1956, immediately began leading the Celtics to NBA championships. By the time he was finished, he had more championship rings than fingers to wear them on, 11 in all. And this came after two NCAA championships at the University of San Francisco, where he once won 55 games in a row. Also, two California high school state titles and an Olympic gold medal, inarguably the greatest winner in team sports history. But as NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said, Russell stood for something more than sports. He was a tireless activist against racial and social injustice. At the stadium, Yankees trailed the Royals 4-0, then led 6-4. DJ LeMahieu, two-run homer. Anthony Rizzo, a three-run shot, his 25th. Kansas City got a run in the eighth inning off Rob Marinaccio, who had been unhittable against, and then with one out in the ninth.
A swing and a drive to center field, and that ball is going to be carrying, and it is out of here! Home run, Salvador Perez. He puts the Royals in the lead in the top of the ninth. How about that?
Three-run homer, KCSP, the call to homer. The first that Clay Holmes had allowed this season. The Yanks had been 6-0 against the Royals. KC won 8-6. Yankees host Seattle tonight. The Mets are in Washington. Max Scherzer goes tonight and Jacob DeGrom tomorrow. Mets have won 6 in a row. Beat the Marlins 9-3 with a 19-hit attack. They remain 3 games ahead of Atlanta. On the PGA Tour, second straight win for Tony Finau in Detroit. He shot 26 under par in New Jersey. The LIV Tour winner, Henrik Stenson. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market and apparently the box office with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, based on what's on your early morning list. Good morning, Kriti.
Good morning, Nathan. Let's start off with a question. Have you seen the DC League of Super Pets?
I don't know what the DC League of Super Pets is.
You know, I didn't either until I looked at Warner Brothers Discovery stock. WBD is the ticker, folks. Up 1%. Don't worry, it all comes full circle. It wasn't a random question. So this is a movie. It's an animated family film from Warner Brothers. It did top a weaker North American box office this weekend. $23 million in its opening weekend across 4,000 domestic cinemas. This is huge for Warner Brothers. This is, looks like it got quite a bit. And of course, as we know, we've talked about this with AMC a lot. When they have a big movie release, for example, Spider-Man No Way Home, you saw AMC stock rally. It's a similar story here with Warner Brothers at Discovery. So nevertheless, WBD is one of your pre-market movers up here, up about 1% this morning, Nathan.
All right. So it's a movie, I guess, is what we're getting from that. All right. So what else is high-flying this morning?
High-flying. What a clever word of play. Boeing is the one we're going to look at next. BA is your ticker. The shares are up, get this, 4% and climbing. So some good news. You know, it's usually not something you see from Boeing shares. They have been under quite a lot of pressure lately. Two bits of good news here. At the first part, they have averted, for a few days at least, an August 1st strike by 2,500 machinists that would have crippled its St. Louis area fighter jet plans. The U.S. regulators had approved the plan to inspect and repair these tiny structural flaws in Boeing 787 Dreamliners. That's the second part of the good news. That's a major milestone towards resuming deliveries that really haven't gone anywhere since late 2020. So bonus number one is that August 1st strike. It looks like it is delayed. And the bonus number two is that those U.S. regulators did approve the plans to inspect. So a little bit of regulatory help from there as well. Nevertheless, BA is your ticker, up about 4% this morning. And also keep in mind that those deliveries are really important when it comes to Boeing kind of building back up their backlog. Remember, they've had a lot of tensions with this kind of COVID era. So to have those shares higher is, once again, a very big deal. Nathan, I'm going to end here with some crypto, as we all love to talk about it. We do have Bitcoin dropping under pressure once again, probably in line with some of the risk sentiment you're seeing in stocks, and I'd argue commodities as well. But it's taking with it down some of these crypto stocks. Riot Blockchain, for example, the miner, RIOT, down 3.7%. You also have the likes of Coinbase, COIN is your ticker, down 1.8%, Nathan. That's something you're seeing across the crypto complex this morning.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us as we get ready to kick off a new trading month. We're watching futures move a touch lower. We have S&P futures right now down 8 points. Dow futures down 25. That's a little changed. NASDAQ futures down 30 points, a drop of about a quarter of 1%. 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 2.65%, and the yield on the 2-year right now 2.89%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We're expecting a mostly cloudy afternoon with a high near 80, but we'll be back near 90 tomorrow with a risk for afternoon showers, thunder showers. Sunny near 90 for Wednesday. Right now 69 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Hey, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Tatiana Darie. Tatiana, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, futures in the red today with Dow futures off by 28 points there. S&P's down 9 and NASDAQ down 33. There's 10-year yield up about a basis point to 2.66%. Oil is down 2 and Bitcoin is lower for a second session. On the economic front today, the final reading for S&P Global Manufacturing PMI is at 9.45 and July's ISM Manufacturing at 10. In early trading, Warner Brothers up 1% after its new movie Super Pets topped the box office this weekend, and Boeing is up 3% after regulators approved some tweaks to its 787 Dreamliner, and the company managed to avoid a strike today. Regarding earnings, diagnostics provider PerkinElmer boosted its guidance, beating estimates. And wrapping things up, Target was raised to overweight at Wells Fargo, and its target price was boosted at Jefferies. Live from the First and Breaking News Desk, I'm Tatiana Daria. Karen.
All right, Tatiana, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is in Singapore kicking off her Asian tour as questions swirled over a possible stop in Taiwan that has fueled tension with Beijing. A foreign ministry spokesperson said Pelosi will call on Singapore's president and prime minister. Bill Russell, who was the cornerstone of the Boston Celtics basketball dynasty in the 1950s and 60s, has died. He was 88. Henrik Stenson won the controversial Saudi-backed LIV Golf's Bedminster Invitational at former President Trump's golf course. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Royals 8-6. The Mets won their sixth straight, beating the Marlins 9-3. The Red Sox downed the Brewers. The Cardinals shut out the Nationals 5-0. The Reds beat the Orioles. The White Sox beat the A's. The Giants down the Cubs. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. But it's 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and top 10 in the nation for engineering by Money.com. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Tesla has signed new long-term deals with two of its existing Chinese battery material suppliers, the latest move by automakers to secure supplies amid intensifying competition. The deals are for chemical cocktails that are key to storing energy in lithium-ion batteries. Indonesia has tasked its state telecom conglomerate, PT Telecom, with creating a metaverse to promote local firms that compete with foreign services. It launched Medanesia, a virtual world meant to help Southeast Asia's largest economy adapt to the fast-changing online landscape. It's the nation's latest effort to take back control of the internet from Google and Facebook. And remnants of a massive Chinese rocket fell back to Earth over the Indian Ocean on Saturday, leading U.S. space officials to again criticize China's lack of information sharing about its boosters re-entering the atmosphere. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Now it's time to check what's going on in D.C., where Democratic Senator Joe Manchin made the rounds on every Sunday political show to pitch his tax and energy deal with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
If I had the chance to fix the energy policy of the United States of America, and I didn't do it, shame on me. If I had the chance to reduce the amount of inflation in people in West Virginia and across the country, are enduring right now, shame on me.
That was Senator Manchin on CBS's Face the Nation. But a Wharton School analysis suggests the bill would have little impact on inflation. Manchin tells Fox News Sunday he respectfully disagrees.
We paid down $300 billion of taxes into debt reduction, okay? We've never done that in 25 years. We basically have taken $288 billion in savings that reduced the drug prices for Americans across the board.
And asked whether Democrat Kyrsten Sinema's on board, Manchin told ABC's This Week,
she has an awful lot in this piece of legislation, the way it's been designed, as far as the reduction of Medicare, letting Medicare go ahead and negotiate for lower drug prices. She's very involved in that.
Also making news, roadblocks in the Senate over a bill that would expand benefits for war veterans exposed to toxic burn pits. Republicans pulled their support over what they say is a budgetary gimmick. Comedian Jon Stewart advocated for the bill on NBC's Meet the Press.
The bill that Ted Cruz voted yes on had the exact same funding provisions as the bill he voted no on. It's the exact same bill. None of this makes any sense.
Meet the Press This Week, Fox News Sunday, and Face the Nation can all be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. And now we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins after Senator Manchin made the rounds on the shows. Emily, what's next for the inflation reduction bill?
So I think what everyone is now, all eyes are on Kyrsten Sinema, and Manchin's comments really hit home the fact that she has not yet decided. Her office said that she's still looking at the bill, that she's not going to be able to make any sort of call on what she will or will not support until this week at the earliest. And this could really mean, I mean, this is the thing, Nathan. I mean, we've all talked about, you know, President Joe Manchin joked about that. But really, in this Senate, it's anyone who could wind up sinking a piece of of legislation. And certainly we could see Kyrsten Sinema completely end Democratic hopes of getting anything in this package done if she decides that she's not going to be able to vote for it and there's not able to compromise.
Well, what's the indication on where Senator Sinema could land on this? Where has she stood when it comes to the kinds of tax provisions that are in this bill, the closing of loopholes?
Right. So, I mean, that's sort of always been her big concern. And that's where we saw that she had concerns previously. There's that carried interest tax break. It does tend to benefit hedge funds, a lot of Wall Street folks. And in the past, she has been opposed to closing that loophole. And so it's something that is currently in the bill. It's something that Manchin has said that he wants in the bill because it does help raise revenue. And we don't yet know where Senator Sinema stands on this. Manchin noted on the TV shows this Sunday that there are a lot of things in this bill that would help out her and help out her constituents, particularly when you look at Medicare, when you look at lowering drug pricing. But at this point, I think it really just is a giant question mark exactly how she's going to come down on this.
Are there question marks as well, Emily, about whether every provision that's in this bill is going to stand muster with the Senate parliamentarian, that everything's going to be able to pass with just 50 votes from the Democrats?
There are definitely, I mean, with the parliamentarian, you never quite know. I think for this one, there were certainly some provisions that raise a lot of question marks. And, you know, people are like, well, I'm not sure that that's actually going to go through. I'm thinking of some of the immigration provisions they initially tried. But I think this time around, a lot of the stuff that they're proposing, it does have that clear budgetary impact. It was a lot of this stuff was kind of clearing hurdles the last time around that we were looking at a major spending package. And so I think there's a lot of confidence that stuff will go through. But of course, you know, things get written differently and the parliamentarian does have the final say.
And speaking of things getting written differently, I guess that's part of what happened with this burn pit bill that looked like it was going to sail through the Senate and now has run into some issues. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so there are two kind of different things going on with this bill. Number one, there are some Republicans who are concerned about the language because it does create an additional $400 billion in discretionary spending that's not related to veterans. And Republicans say they have a problem with that. That said, Nathan, 84 senators total, so a number of Republicans, voted for this bill just a couple weeks ago. And then a number of senators changed their mind, not because of anything within the bill specifically, but because Democrats announced that they were moving forward with their reconciliation plan. And that's certainly something Republicans did not want to see happening. At one point, Senator Mitch McConnell was leveraging the Republican support of the CHIPS bill. And it was very interesting timing. You saw, you know, McConnell back off, say, okay, Republicans will help Democrats with CHIPS because it doesn't seem like you're going to get a reconciliation package. The CHIPS bill passes the Senate. And then just a few hours later, Schumer and Manchin are like, actually, we do have a deal on reconciliation. And so this vote took place shortly after. Schumer says he's going to be bringing it back to the floor. We're going to see an amendment being offered to address some of that $400 billion in discretionary spending. And the bill is expected to pass this week. When it comes back to the floor, you've actually had a group of veterans that have camped out on the Senate steps, vowing to stay there in protest until this bill addressing burn pits passes.
Just 30 seconds left here, Emily. I know you're watching Speaker Pelosi's trip through Asia. Do we have any further indication on whether she is planning to go to Taiwan?
So we did report last week that Speaker Pelosi was planning to go to Taiwan. We've now seen similar reporting from a number of other outlets saying that she's planning on going there. But at this point, her trip itinerary does not include any specific mention of Taiwan. Of course, the speaker has emphasized that she does not talk about trips before she goes on them because of security and safety concerns. Certainly, those concerns must be heightened for something like Taiwan, where Beijing has promised a strong and immediate retribution should she go.
Thanks, Emily. Always good to have you with us. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from the nation's capital. S&P futures now down 9 points. Dow futures down 24. NASDAQ futures lower by 27 points. Bloomberg surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.